I realized I don't have to just keep opening businesses and then, you know, evolve them. I can just help other people grow theirs.
Welcome to the Self-Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you, who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. We often talk about making the full leap from the 9-to-5 to start a business of your own, but it doesn't have to be that way. And this week's powerhouse guest, Katie Murray, is a prime example of just that. Katie has a passion and knack for turning ideas into successful ventures, which is evident from her business, Katie & Co., and her podcast, Ginger Biz. In our conversation, Katie shares why she continues to work her traditional 9-to-5, the invaluable transferable skills that bridge both worlds, and how she has nurtured and grown her businesses. We also explore the crucial topic of delegation, a skill every entrepreneur must master, and the pivotal importance of making the right hires to fuel your business's growth. So if you're looking for insights, strategies, and inspiration for a business of your own, this episode is for you. Katie, thank you so much for hopping on today and joining the Self-Starter Podcast.
Thank you, Megan, for having me. I'm excited to just chat with you.
Me too. And speaking of chatting, before we even dive into your entrepreneurial journey, I have to say, I haven't met someone that is a fellow sock lover like I am. I mean, I saw on your website that you have over 100 socks. So that made me so giddy. My husband, much to his demise, hates it because I'm constantly in socks. So It's nice to know that I'm not the only one out there.
Oh, I live in them. And you know what? I'll sometimes take my sock bin out and be like, okay, I got to get rid of some. I might get rid of one. Like I literally go through each one and I'm like, but these are cute and these are cute. It just never ends.
You're like, but I might use them. They might come in handy. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Exactly. And they're cute.
Exactly. And if there's a sock shortage, then now everyone knows where to go. Go on over to Katie's house. She's got you covered.
You've got plenty.
You've got plenty. Now, Katie, in all seriousness, though, your entrepreneurial journey is one that is extremely inspiring. You are someone that has really worn many hats. You're really my definition of a multi-passionate, because not only are you still in the kind of 9-to-5 working world, working as the head of HR for a private country club, but you've also had the opportunity to start and evolve multiple businesses. So I'd love to just learn a little bit more about kind of who you are and really what you do.
Yeah, Megan, thank you. I love what I do almost to a fault, because I just love business. I love everything and I love my job. So I am a full-time HR representative for a private organization, which I absolutely love. And then I have a couple different businesses, one of which is Katie & Co., our virtual assisting firm, and then Katie Murray Photography. And I do dabble in some stationery and paper products as well. And that's more of just like fun, loving what I love to do. But it's just been a whirlwind. We've been having a business. I say we because there's a team behind me. I'm not a lone star in this. I can't do it all on my own. And that's the number one thing. If you take anything away from this episode, you don't have to, nor do you need to, nor can you do everything on your own. So it's okay to lean on other people. But my journey just started as a photographer forever ago and just quickly blossomed into so much more. But I just have this desire to continually grow and learn more about business and teach others about business. And so over the last couple of years, I realized, which is what Katie & Co. was birthed from, was the fact that like, I don't have to just keep opening businesses and then, you know, evolve them. I can just help other people grow theirs. And it is so much fun and such a joy in my life.
I love that. I know you mentioned that you really love working as the head of HR for this country club, but you also had this desire for more. And I think a lot of people are in very similar situations where they are torn, but they can only go one direction. You either have to be in the corporate world or you have to be an entrepreneur, but you've really successfully done both. Why is it that you decided that you wanted to kind of branch off and really dabble in two different directions at the same time?
So that is a good question, Megan. I don't know that I ever decided it. These things just kind of fell on my plate and worked out. Now, I will say, to take a step back, is think of a triangle, and human resources is very much helping in creating advocacy for employees, right? So I'm helping them grow in their career. I'm helping them stay within our company, but in a positive mindset, or maybe even helping them branch out into leadership roles at other private organizations or within hospitality. So it's very much helping individuals grow in their career. And then my podcast, which I don't think I mentioned a second ago, but my podcast also does that, but for entrepreneurs and business-minded people. So again, Megan, if you listen to my podcast, you were on my podcast, you know this, it's all about helping people learn and grow. And then that third part, which would be maybe my stationery or KMP, my photography, is very business minded in the sense that for KMP, I do branding photos for small businesses. So what's in the middle of that triangle? It's helping others, but you can even niche down and say helping others in their career. And you could even niche down a bit and say helping them in their business goals and platforms and helping them learn and grow in a business mindset. Because I will tell you that if someone steps through my office door at my full-time job and they tell me they want to start a business, like I'm not going to hold back, right? I'm going to just encourage them to side hustle it until they're ready or forever if they want to, like I do. So while it is very, I am multi-passionate, there's so many different things on the table, especially if I were to itemize them out, I think they all go back to some level of business and some level of helping people. So that's how I justify it in my mind, how I can make it work. But yeah, Megan, I think so many people think that they should be like, I hate my full-time job and I need to just do entrepreneurship full time, and that should be my everything, and I need to pour everything into it. But if you have a mindset like me, I like to dabble in these different things. And I'm making lots of hand gestures because that's how I speak, but like just pulling from the left, pulling from the right, and up and down, and just getting all these things to fulfill those itches that I have works for me. And it may not work for everybody, but maintaining that full time job gives me the structure and the challenges that I love. So I'm not going to lose that anytime soon.
Well, and I like the analogy you gave of the triangle, how each different point is a different area of focus, but everything kind of comes into one unified, centralized place. And that's really the topic of helping others. I've worked in the corporate world myself, and I've never worked in HR, but HR has always been the helpers. Like they're the people that you go to when you're onboarding and you're offboarding and you have any specific questions. They're basically, I like to call them kind of like your business BFF. And that's mm-hmm. what you've been able to do in all different areas of your other passions, is that you have become this business BFF. It's just in a different capacity. It's really helping others grow and learn and develop. And I really like that you mentioned, if people come to you and they want to start their side hustle, you are completely promoting it. You're not that person that's saying, no, you have to focus 100% or more on this specific task at work. No, go explore all these different avenues, because in my personal opinion, I actually think it makes you a stronger employee when you are encouraged to be able to explore these other passions, because then you're a little bit more invigorated and lit up when you do come to that 9 to 5.
Absolutely. And it's funny because on LinkedIn recently, I had shared one of the podcasts I guested on or something. An employee came to me and was like, oh, I saw you like launched a business. Like, what is this about? And at the end of the day, I knew he had something in his mind. It was less about me, which is totally fine. Being HR, we're used to that. And I was like, actually, I've been doing it for a while. And he was blown away. And he's like, whoa, 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 because I want to eventually, so I'm in a country club. So he's like, I eventually want to like have my own practice thing where I'm teaching lessons and there's this education, there's these courses. And I'm just over here like, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Like, let's do this. And I think he was blown away by that too, to your point. But you're only going to be so much more passionate and so much more empowered to do more when you have that healthy dynamic in any aspect, right? So I love that.
I love that for you. And I know that you started within the HR realm, but I'm curious to understand how your journey has evolved into the entrepreneurial side of things as well, because you have been able to successfully start and really maintain these really successful businesses, but there's always a step one. So what was your step one?
I am going to answer that in reverse. My career was, for lack of better terms, so I started in country clubs, and I actually started in food and beverage, and that's where my history and background was. And after I got really good at food and beverage, I was like, well, I want to do more and I want to learn more, and I eventually want to go up the ladder within clubs. So then I pivoted and went into administrative/finance within clubs. And so I was accounts receivable, managed all of the intake, all of that stuff that comes with accounts receivable. And then I realized quickly that I needed more, and country clubs, at least in the area that I'm in, have a lot of tennis and golf, two things I don't really know much about, especially golf. Like, not my thing. You agree. I'm the same way. Like, no, thank you. But I realized I needed to venture off and learn more because at the time I wanted to become a general manager of a country club. So I went to my current role and applied for a job randomly. Now, mind you, in the mix of all this, I did serve in the United States Navy. So there was the stint in there where I was off the grid for a bit. Then I went to my current club, which was amazing, and I love it. And I came in as an executive administrator, and I sat with the general manager when I interviewed and said, I want to become a GM. Are you willing to help me do that? And he said, sure. And so we're working on that. Well, then I pivoted to HR. And the thing that I loved about HR was, like you said, I'm the nucleus. I get to see the food and beverage. I get to see the golf. I get to see the admin. Everybody comes to me and I love that. And so at the same time, my business is blossoming and growing. So KMP, Katie Marie Photography, existed since for the last decade or more. And it was always just like something that I did. And I started to realize, like, this doesn't have to just be fun creatively. This can be financially stable for me. And at this point, when I'm joining the current role that I'm in full time, I realized I could make really good money with KMP, and why not? So I started utilizing transferable skills between both to be able to start scaling myself while maintaining my sanity. And so I've been at my current organization 4 years, and each year my business has grown exponentially within that, which is crazy to me because I was sitting here thinking, okay, the business will have to take a backside. Like, it'll have to slow down because I really want to focus on my career. But then I realized all the time management, the dual identity, the leveraging skills and resources were applicable to both. So I was able to just continue and grow. And with that, I will say, just to give a little more background, my husband did leave his full-time job a year and a half ago, which is when we launched Katie & Co. virtual assisting firm. So he and I co-own that, and we have built it and grown it together. He now does work full-time as well, also at a private country club. But we put systems in place for time management that we could still continue to grow those quote unquote side hustles. I don't even like calling them that because financially, I probably should research that first, what actually is a side hustle, but we put in the time, and our team members, because we do have a couple of team members, help put in the time to make them full on businesses. And it's just been a really fun adventure growing everything together and simultaneously so that they do interlock really, really well.
First of all, I'm going to sound a little bit corny because I'm going to sound like my grandma, because this is something she always said, but I did not know you were in the Navy. And something my grandma would always say is, thank you for your service. So thank you. I'm definitely going to sound super corny, but I really appreciate what you've done. And then you've just consistently been able to help people. I mean, even in the Navy, you're helping people. And then it's just evolved from there. And I really like that you were saying that you've been with this country club for 4 years. And I mean, at first you thought that it might be kind of put on the back burner, but they've actually been able to grow exponentially. And you alluded to the fact that there's a lot of transferable skills that you were able to take from the country club setting and really apply into your businesses. So can you maybe walk me through what some of those skills are that were transferable that you're using in your day-to-day in your entrepreneurial life?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say there's two main points, like umbrella statements. Is one is like leveraging skills and resources, and the other would be nurturing support systems and building networks. Those are both, again, blanket statements, but very, very impactful for both my entrepreneurial journey and my career. And with that, with leveraging skills and resources, it's just like you want to think about knowledge and resources that you're utilizing there and how you can continue to leverage those. So some people, it might be delegation if you have team members at your full-time job. And if you're working in a business, like maybe hiring a VA or bringing on a part-time, some sort of level of help for certain aspects of your job. And then building a network. Like, Megan, look at this. You were on my podcast last week. I'm on yours this week. Like, we're networking here. And then in the groups that we meet in and on Facebook, you can network so much. And I can do that in both avenues. A very, very tangible example of this is earlier this year, my little idea of a women's collective within my organization blossomed and was able to hatch. And so we meet once a month, all the females in my organization. We have about 600 employees. All the women are invited to come to this women's collective, and we have a guest speaker who will speak on time management or even leveraging different skills or whatever. And what's really cool is people like you could be a speaker for that, or the speakers for that could be on my podcast, like, because it's so intentional. And again, going back to that triangle, my triangle is so intentional that I can utilize resources from all those elements. I've even had recently someone on my podcast who is a former HR professional. And so it was really fun to just chat with her about podcast stuff, but then like, okay, let's sign off, end the recording. And like, how do you handle this kind of employee situation? And she had insight. And so really just building that network and that nurturing support system that you can carry over from either side. I know, Megan, you talk about it too. It's like community is so big, especially being a female entrepreneur, being, you know, soon to be mothers or mothers and all these different things, having that community, that's a huge tangible takeaway for either job. And then also skills and resources, you could even dive into outsourcing and delegation. Delegation, something I wasn't good at in my full-time job, but this year my team is now the biggest that it has been in our HR department. And my goodness, using those team members is amazing. I have space to think. And then also in our business, we have a VA and we have VAs who support our firm. So we just collect everything, all of our clients, and then we assign based on whose workload is, you know, able to take it on right then. And that's been huge. Like, I don't have to do it all. I don't have to do it all over there. I don't have to do it all in motherhood. I don't have to do it all in entrepreneurship. So those are kind of the tangible things. I mean, I could go on and on though.
Well, and I think that's a really good lesson. It's the fact that we don't have to do it all, because I think when people transition from the 9 to 5 into entrepreneurship, they think that they do have to do it all, especially because maybe finances are tight, or they think that they have to prove it to themselves because there's something that they're just really looking to accomplish. Whatever the reason may be, I think delegation is a really important lesson that as an entrepreneur, we all really have to learn at some point, because what works at the very beginning likely won't be the way that's going to allow you to really scale your business. So being able to outsource right away and delegate a lot of these tasks is really crucial to your business growth. And you've done that for your own business, but you've also started a business for these VAs. So I think it's important that we highlight Katie and Co. here just as a natural transition, because that's really what you do. That's your bread and butter over here. So tell us a little bit more about Katie and Co. and how this concept got started with your husband and you.
Yeah, great question, Megan. So I'm passionate and I get super fired up and I'm holding back right now because I tend to like lean towards the mic and just get so excited. So bear with me. But the pivotal moment in my mind that I remember is I was at the playground with another mom, her children a little bit older than mine. And we were talking, she's like, yeah, I just wish I knew how to like do this and this. And I was like, do you really want me to start right now? Cause I'm about to just give you all the tips, girlfriend. She has a rental company and wanted a venue and all these things. And I was like, this is what you have to do. Like, take parts of it and make it your own. But like, let me just share my wealth and what has worked and what hasn't. And then I started realizing a lot of people, when I've talked to them, and this is at like weddings and events or just anything where like they see me in my element and they're like, oh, well, how do you do this? How do you do that? Their response to me is often like, oh, I wish I had the time to do that. Or I wish I could do that. Or I wish I was creative enough. Or I wish I had your ambition. And I was like, you don't have to have any of those things. You just have to apply yourself. And then I got to realizing not everyone is like me, who's just go, 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 let's keep moving. And so I was like, well, then let me keep you moving, right? If you don't have the capacity to sit down and write all your captions for social media or continue to show up on social media so you stay relevant, so people know you're active, let me do it. I can do that. I'm very good with intention and my time management skills are pretty good, I would say, just in comparison to other people I've worked with. And so I can hash out your content for a month in like 3 hours, have everything slated, ready to go. And then our team can just push it for you. Whereas some people find that debilitating. They're like, how would I think of 30 different captions or 60 different captions in a moment when I'm sitting there? I was like, well, you just do it, you know? So that's kind of where Katie and Co. blossom from. And I will say that we're pivoting away from so much with Katie Murray Photography. We've did lots of portraits. We did weddings and we still have a couple weddings on the docket for this year, but I wanted to stop exchanging time for money because I'm getting to the point in my career and in the entrepreneurship journey that like it takes more to get more. And I want to step back from that. So Katie and Co. allows us to work on our own times, really embracing my motherhood aspect and that hat that I wear, and allows me to still serve people and serve them well, while KMP can maintain intentionality with booking only 2 branding sessions a month, and I can balance that and life is good over there. But Katie and Co. is still scratching that itch of serving others and wanting to be involved. So that's kind of where it all blossomed from. And the funny thing is, my husband's a processor, I'm a doer. So we're sitting on the couch and I was like, let's do this. Like, we've already learned how to train our own VAs. We don't necessarily have the workload for those specific VAs to be full time. So why don't we just fill their plate more and benefit off of it? They continue to learn from us. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So then, of course, there I go, buy the domain, start the Instagram. And then he's like, yeah, so are you thinking like next month or something? And I'm like, oh, I thought we were doing this like legit right now. And he was like, okay, I guess we are. And so we just went with it. And so that's kind of where it came from.
I love it. You mentioned that a lot of these people that you were talking to were saying, I wish statements. I wish I could do that. I wish I had your ambition. You truly are a doer. So it's like, you don't just wish for it. You actually take action and you implement. And I think that is really what has made you so successful, is that immediate action. Sure, you're thinking about it. Like you said, your husband's a processor, but really where you come into place is you're like, no, let's just do this now. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's move forward, because let's stop thinking about it and let's start doing it, like actually make it happen. And I really like that about you. With the whole VA topic, just in general, I know we were talking about how it's really important to be able to delegate some of these tasks and really outsource. But some people might be thinking, you know what, when do I start that? Maybe I don't have the funds for it, or maybe I don't even know where to begin. Like, how would they start and when would they start?
Yeah, great question, Megan. I think everyone's answer for this is different. So you just have to take a step back and think, like, take what I say that applies to you and just drop the rest. Because for me, I started way, 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 way too late. I think that we brought on a VA in 2019 or maybe 2020. And mind you, again, like, KMP, our business has been flourishing since 2012. So that's a long time to do it by myself. And one of those aspects is when I was in the Navy and I was off the grid for a bit, I had really leaned into systems and scheduling things. But the weird thing was, is my poor mother sometimes would reach out and be like, Katie, I didn't know that you were landside. Like, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, oh no, that's just my scheduler. And I would like tell her like a month later when I was able to talk again. And so I realized quickly that like systems aren't quite enough. I think having that help and having that human behind it is impactful as well. And so in that scenario for me, if I had a human, they could have said, oh, this isn't Katie, like on a sidebar. But of course, I'm not going to get on there and post something that says, oh, by the way, this isn't really Katie, I've scheduled everything. So that's one thing. And I think too, if you're starting to feel any sort of burnout, but anytime you think about quitting, you know, you don't want to, you're past the point of like, you need to hire somebody. Now, I know that a lot of people could think, kind of to your point of like, we have the financial stability because we do have that full-time job and that's amazing. Still be intentional with it, but maybe if you are looking to transition into full-time entrepreneurship, stay at your job a little bit longer than you would so that you can help finance a team member. And by a team member, I kind of refer to them as team members just because they're not technically legally an employee, but they are a part of Katie's team. And so I don't like to call them like freelancers or contractors per se, but that's equivalently what we're talking about here. And when you start to feel that burnout, when you really want to do something, but you don't know how. So let's just say, Megan, that you're sitting here and you're like, I want to create a funnel on my website. I want to make sure that when people are coming in to like land on it, they have a light box or a pop-up or whatever you refer to it as. And then it takes them straight into a funnel to my newsletter and then a thank you note. And then they receive something in their inbox. But I have no idea how to do that. Didn't even know it was called a funnel. Like, what am I supposed to do? Outsource it, delegate it, find someone who you can either, one, is an expert in that field. So maybe it's a web designer of sorts. Maybe they're not even specifically a VA, but they have that web design side of things and they can help you set up those. Or find a social media manager who could also be considered a VA who can help push content. Maybe you don't know how to sort your photos, or maybe design isn't your thing, but you want to have that cohesive grid. Reach out to experts in those fields, or a generic VA, which is what we do, and they can learn with you, or they can learn your voice and they can help push things. Because then for someone like me, I know that for every hour I spend, let's just say creating content, that's an hour lost in a photo session. And that was a big thing for me. And we're transitioning a little bit. I have my photography hat on. I could make way more money than I was spending if I was utilizing that time back into my business. And so just think of it from that aspect. Is there something that you don't know how to do, or you don't want to do, or you don't enjoy doing, or you know you're not giving your 100%, then maybe that's time to outsource that to a VA. Is there something you absolutely love doing and you want to keep doing it? Perfect. Then shift some things around on your plate and see what you can delegate. That's kind of where I would say. And then ultimately the feeling, if you're feeling burned out, girlfriend, you're past the point. You should probably look for help and be prepared, because it's not easy, right? Training someone to take care of your business, your baby, something that you've poured your life into, is going to be a transition. And Megan, it's similar, probably not quite as magnified, but when I picked a daycare for my child, like, I really wanted to trust these people. I needed to make sure my daughter was safe. And when I'm handing the reins over to my business, when I'm handing over my logins, it's the same thing. I need to make sure this person's not going to show up with typos or misspell something or say something completely off of the brand, right? And so you just have to learn to kind of work through those transitions and those growing pains so that you can lead to scaling and growing.
And that's a really good point that you brought up there, that there are going to be growing pains and you do really want to make sure that you're finding the right fit for you and your business. But it's not always as simple as it sounds. I mean, I have a main editor for my podcast, but she at one point went on maternity leave. So I knew very early on when I started this podcast that I did not want to edit my own episodes, because that was not my own strength. And I knew that if I wanted to be consistent and to keep going, that if I were doing the podcast episodes myself, it was never going to happen. This dream of mine was never going to come alive. So I outsourced right away. But when she went on maternity leave, I had to find another solution. And I thought I had some great people, but it just took time to really develop this certain relationship, and it ended up not really working out. So how do you really distinguish from the very beginning really what you're looking for and that it is a good fit for your business from the start?
That's another great question, Megan. So for me, an example would be, we recently were looking to move and we engaged with a realtor. And in that first moment, she wasn't my vibe. Like, she wasn't, I just knew it wasn't going to be the best fit, but I decided, let's go ahead and try it anyways. It was someone referred to my husband and I can be opinionated. So I was like, just take a step back. Like, it's okay. Like, this is the area we want to go to and stuff. So let's just let it happen. And then I realized after a couple more interactions, I just wasn't going to be satisfied with that. So I'd say, first off, lean on your gut, right? I knew from our first interaction that our personalities just didn't jive, and I need someone similar to me to help me make that purchase of my house, right? Because especially with today's market, we got to move quickly, and I want to trust that person to even if I absolutely had to, let them just go look at the house and say, hey, this is what you want. And so same with a VA, like, you have to have that vibe. Now, I would say personality-wise is the most important aspect of a VA, that you get along with them personality-wise. And I don't mean just like you can get on a quick phone call and like have fun and chat it up. I mean, like, what they're saying and how they're saying it and how they're presenting themselves vibes with you, because that's number one. Because their personality, even as they're echoing your voice and being an extension of your brand, some of their things are going to shine through. One of my clients right now is a photographer, and I know that we are going to have an amazing relationship simply because I love her photo style. Like, I absolutely love how she edits. I love how she composes things. And so I know that my personality is only going to support her brand, right? But if it were to be someone, and not to say it's a deal breaker, but someone who's more into glam and glitz and like sparkles, there's a very specific vibe that I'm referring to, which I don't think my words are going to captivate that. I just know that I won't be able to be a good voice for them, right? And they would also know in some respect that I wouldn't be a good voice for them either, especially depending on what I would be doing for them. Like, social media management probably wouldn't be the best vibe, because I'm not going to pick the photos they love the most, because they're going to love these crazy, full sparkle, glam, like very full photos with a lot going on. Whereas I like more minimalistic. So then it's going to be hard to be their brand. So I'd say that's like one thing to keep in mind when you're looking and when you're hiring. And then two, you might go through two or three people, and that's okay. Me as a VA want you, Megan, to be just as happy with me as I am with you. Because if we're not vibing well, if it's not working out, I don't really want to do your work either, because I want you to be so happy. And it's okay to say, hey, like, I don't think this is the best fit right now, and walk away. But know that there's those growing pains, because we have a 3-month minimum, just because after the intake, after the consult call, after all the questionnaires and everything, it's going to take me a bit to learn your voice and be you. because nobody can be you. I'm just trying to be you. And then once we get in sync on that, it's going to be 10 times easier. But you might have to nitpick a couple things. You might have to give quality feedback. You might have to be on top of it. It's like training any new employee, right? It's not the easiest or most fun thing to do, but it's rewarding.
Definitely. And you mentioned something earlier when you were in the Navy that you implemented a bunch of systems and processes, yet it really wasn't enough because you still needed that human factor. But I think the systems and processes are really important at the very beginning too, that as you are learning about a little bit more about your business and figuring out what works for you and what doesn't, document it. Because that documentation, really creating an SOP, can help you with the onboarding and training of these virtual assistants for you. Because that way, everything's kind of recorded. You have a document to actually share with them, and you're not having to repeat this process over and over and over again.
Oh, wholeheartedly. And that's something that's one of those transferable skills. At my day job, I literally have an SOP for everything. I went through a lull where I would hire seasonal help, and the role and position just evolved so much that now I have a full team, but I am so thankful that I can walk them through it once or twice and then say, here's a written SOP to follow. To the point, Megan, we talked about this a little bit on the other episode, was that with my podcast intake forms, I have an intake form, I have a Calendly link, and then I have Riverside that goes out to them. And now in the back end, I'm adding on a couple more things with that. And I was actually just telling my husband last week, I was like, I want to stay on top of this, but I would so much rather spend my hour in the studio recording than, okay, let me create the outline. Let me make sure that I have all the questions in one spot. Let me make sure I have everything ready for the show notes. So what I did is, like you said, I started documenting it, and I have someone joining me in the fall who's going to be the lead on all things podcast related, minus production. And I'm so excited for it because looking back at it, I have my intake form, everything, the questions are perfect. So all you have to do is put it in a Word doc. Then you just create a couple of templates, and like, it's just going to be so easy for that person. But when you are doing that, do take a small step back, because I know the person who's joining our team for this is also going to bring her own spice to it. And that's why I chose her. That's why I want her to work for me. So I do have to a little bit loosen those reins and say, she might come to me and be like, Katie, why are we doing the intake form this way? It makes more sense to do it this way. And it's going to be 10 times more efficient. So again, give them that outline, create that SOP so that they have an idea of what they're doing, and then rely on them to make it better, right? Even in my HR role, I do that to the team. I'm like, hey, Megan, you have great ideas. Here's the SOP. Mark it up. Put it in there. What makes more sense for the team members? How can this be easier for our client, the employee, or in the podcast, the guest? And let them run with it too. Just give them that baseline, because they might have insight you don't.
I love that so much. And basically, it's just giving them the foundations of what they need to get started. But personally, I love when people bring their new and exciting ideas to the table, because if we're just constantly just putting our own ideas out there, I mean, that's just one opinion. There's so many different ways that we can build a business. Like, and the more perspectives that you have, the better, because it doesn't mean that one way is right or wrong. It's just, it's more colorful, I guess. Mm-hmm. It makes things so much better when everyone's coming together and pulling their ideas instead of just like, this is my way. This is exactly how we're doing it. It's never going to evolve. It's set in stone. Being able to pivot and be flexible in your business is really crucial for ongoing business success. So you've clearly done that. And you were mentioning here about your podcast. So I definitely want to be able to make sure that we're able to dive into this one little corner of the triangle that we were talking about from earlier. So tell us a little bit more about the Ginger Biz podcast as well.
Yeah. So Ginger Biz, I'm a redhead. So Ginger Biz came from that, because I'm a ginger. And it actually stemmed from, just to dive into the name, there was a very brief set in time when I wanted to name the photo business PK Photography, Philip and Katie, because my husband is such a huge support that I was in this mentality like, wow, I'm so self-centered by just having Katie in the name. I should have his name and represent him. So then I came up with this idea that we were ginger snaps, because we're both redheads. So is my daughter. We're just a bunch of redheads. And actually one of my dogs is a redhead too. So we love redheads. And just to really put the icing on the cake, my photographer for our wedding was also a redhead. We just love redheads. So we came up with Ginger Snaps, but he was like, no, no, no. I don't want to be the face of this. I don't want to do any of this. He just likes to be behind the scenes. And so I was like, oh, but it's like the perfect name, Ginger Snaps. Like, I love it. So then that's where Ginger came from, for Ginger Biz. and in my intro, which even as that evolves, I always refer back to it. I'm like, I'm a ginger who snaps photos. But the podcast itself really stemmed from one day I was in our living room. It was just after I had a baby. We were in the middle of a pandemic. And I remember I was walking her next to the window and just looking out. And all of a sudden I was like, I'm starting a podcast. I'm going to do this. Like, I, again, going back to that mom I was talking to at the park, like, I have so much to say and I have so much I want to share. And I do truly believe that while I have failed immensely over the years and had my hardships, that I've learned something from every single one of those. And I have no, I say this hesitantly, I have no regrets. I don't think, not anything that come to the top of my mind, because I just believe everything brings us to where we are. And so with that, I was like, here's a perfect platform. People can take what they want. They can listen. They can take out a snippet. Like, maybe someone listening to this one's just like, yeah, I didn't think about leveraging my skills at my full-time job to my business. Maybe that's the only thing you take away from this podcast. And Megan, to your point, what you said a minute ago was it makes it so much more colorful. People can just take what they want. And I just put it all out there to be taken, which that's what Ginger Biz is about. And then Ginger Biz has only been active for just over a year now. So we're on our 13th month. We're on our, I think, 78th episode, goes live tomorrow. So it's really exciting. I love it. But I love that it fires me up too. Not only is Ginger Biz a way so that I can pour into other people, and I do have a lot of people asking me questions, so I can say, hey, check out 78 about imperfection. Like, it's totally going to answer your questions. And it makes it a little bit easier for me to manage and still help people. But it also fuels my fire. Like, Megan, when we chatted last week, because you're a guest on Ginger Biz coming up, and I'll make sure that you have that in case you want to link it in the show notes. But when we talked about that, like, I love creating content. I love these conversations. And I'm an object in motion stays in motion. Like, I'm going and going. So I'm just going to keep on going. And that's what Ginger Biz does to me. Like, that's how I came up with my triangle. I was like, I'm multi-passionate. How can I express this where it makes sense that I'm not just throwing a bunch of crap at the wall and hoping it sticks? Like, my triangle is very intentional. And by talking about that on Ginger Biz and working through all the whys, it brought me to that. So that's kind of Ginger Biz in a nutshell.
I relate to that so much. I think you said something that really stood out to me. It's that you're doing something that really fires you up. And I think that that's really important whenever you are doing something that is outside of that 9 to 5, is that in order to keep going, because the times are not going to always be like hunky-dory. Sometimes there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows, but you have to find something that really fuels you up, that fires you up, like you said, that keeps you going. And you clearly have done that because you've been able to identify that triangle. And at the center of it, it's helping others. And so that's what I really like about your story. And I liked also that the podcast, I have so much knowledge to share. I'm just going to put it out there and then people can pick and choose what they want to take away from that. And I resonate with that myself because that's exactly what I've done with this podcast. I'm sharing women's stories like yourself, and there's so much learning and just packed into this one episode that sometimes it gets a little bit overwhelming. People are like, where do I start? So I really try to just break down, okay, what's one key takeaway that you can walk away with today? If nothing at all, what's one thing? Because especially as new entrepreneurs, it can really be daunting. It can be like, oh gosh, I can't do that. I mean, she's done it, but some people maybe are still in the wishing phase instead of the doing because they are overwhelmed. So really breaking it down really simply, giving them that one key takeaway, I think that's been really helpful for my listeners. And I mean, it sounds like you're really doing the same thing here as well.
Yeah. And Megan, with Ginger Biz, that was one thing for me that was so important. Was I've listened to a lot of podcasts. So my commute is pretty intense. It's on a great day, I can get to work in like 50, 53 minutes. On a bad day, it can take like 2 hours. So I have a lot of time to listen to podcasts and I love doing it, but I've also been able to take, like you're saying, bits and pieces from each one. And one thing that I find with guest episodes like this is sometimes it does feel so overwhelming because like we're talking back and forth, but at the same time, we're also putting out there our successes. And so someone might be sitting here like, oh, that's awesome. Katie's probably like wildly fit because she's always on the go. And she's probably insane because she's just like constantly, no, I have to sleep 8 hours a night. Otherwise I'm grumpy. Like I do have a normal life. outside of my multi-passionate things. And you can do the same. You just have to hone in on what your priorities are and what you want to do. It's not that me or Megan or Jenna Kutcher or Jasmine Starr or Caitlin James aren't human. We all have the same amount of hours in the day. We just have to like slow down. And so to be what I was going to say about the podcast with that is sometimes I do get overwhelmed by hearing all of it at one time. And so some of my solo episodes on Ginger Biz, they're like 12 minutes because it's like, here's 5 points and here's 5 things that you can do to reach those points. And it's super simple, super digestible because it is a lot of information. And where the heck do you start? Kind of like your question, like, how do you know when you're supposed to hire a VA? Like, you might know that you're supposed to, but is that next year? Was I supposed to do it 5 years ago? How do I navigate that? And so giving that tangible, and that's what I love about Ginger Biz, is that I'm able to be in control and just say, here's your bullet points. Take what you want from them.
Goodness. And you've broken it down so beautifully in today's episode as well. And I think a huge part of your success is what you mentioned before. I mean, not only are you just a doer, but you're also very efficient with time management. So I think that has been something you've been very intentional with, is like, okay, yes, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. If you're commuting up to 2 hours each direction sometimes, I can relate to that because I was doing the same pre-COVID. Sometimes it was 3 hours each direction, which was absolutely insane. So personally, like, I completely understand with what you're saying, but it's making sure that, okay, when I am dedicated to my VA business, when I'm dedicated to my photography business or my podcasting business, I'm being extremely intentional with those hours, with those minutes, because like that's all the time that I have. And if I kind of dilly-dally, then it's never going to get done. And then I'm never going to sleep because I do need those 8 hours like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. But going back to what you were saying, I know you said because of this commute, you are able to listen to a lot of different podcasts and take away bits and pieces. A lot of the women that you did name there are very successful entrepreneurs. So I'm curious, if you were to give advice to an entrepreneur just getting started, having all of this information from these other entrepreneurs, as well as your own personal experiences, what kind of advice would you give this woman?
That's a big question. Honestly, I think from a personal standpoint and sanity is give yourself grace in every season. Just give yourself grace. Like, that's the baseline. You're transitioning into entrepreneurship, you're transitioning out of a job, you're balancing motherhood, whatever it is, give yourself grace. Because if you don't give yourself grace, it's just not going to be beneficial. It's not going to be helpful. And then anytime you have an opportunity or a challenge or an issue in your business, take it as a learning experience. I think that oftentimes early on in my entrepreneur journey, I'd beat myself up over any sort of issue. Or if I did a photo shoot and the client wasn't ecstatic about the photos, even if they weren't upset about the photos, I took everything so personally. So I would say just give yourself grace. That's the first thing. And the other thing is change your mindset. I'm a pessimist by nature. Like, I've been married almost 11 years, I think. Yeah. With my husband, and he's a total optimist. I had to think about what day it was and what month we're in, but he's a total optimist. And I have gained a lot of that from him, but generally I'm a total pessimist. So it's been a total mindset change to really give myself that grace, to really see the good in everything and not beat myself up over anything, like a missed deadline or a non-productive day. And that negativity in any form is just not going to help. So those would be my like generic tips. My more tangible tip would lean into systems. If you have a business and you're sending contracts just by like, here's a Word doc or a PDF, sign it, sign up for a CRM, whether it's, I don't know, QuickBooks or 17 Hats or HoneyBook or whatever. That's the first thing that I would say make an investment in your business, no matter how small you are, because at least in my experience, what happened is things started to pick up over time, over weeks and months and years even. But you have to start your business with the mentality of scaling, making sure that it's sustainable. Even with podcasts, people will often launch a new podcast and there's a thing called podcast fade because they don't realize what goes into making a podcast. They think it's just us sitting here chatting, but there's so much more that goes into it. You had to schedule this. You have to organize your schedule. You have to have content. And so just create systems and lean into like a CRM of sorts, which is a client relationship management tool to help grow your business in my opinion, a CRM works for anybody. It could work for a podcaster. It could work for an influencer. It could work for a coach. Just because that system's already built in place, then you build your templates out from there. And then guess what? You segue straight into being able to have somebody else do it for you. So that's kind of where I think I would suggest people start.
And I know you said, you mentioned creating scalable and really sustainable practices. And part of that is potentially hiring a VA. So if people wanted to be able to learn a little bit more about how they could work with you and Katie & Co. and potentially hire their first VA, or maybe they've had a VA in the past and it really wasn't a successful relationship and they really wanted to work with you because they've absolutely loved your personality and your style here today. So where could they go ahead and learn more about you and all things surrounding Katie today?
Yeah, Megan, you could find me at katieandcova.com. So that's K-A-T-Y, Katie & Co, C-O. And then also everything's through my main photography website as well. So katiemurrayphotography.com, K-A-T-Y-M-U-R-R-A-Y photography. But we're also on social media. So Instagram, we're at katieandco.va. You can go hop over there and follow us. And honestly, like, I'm an open book. So even don't think that I don't even have it set up where you like book a consultation and it's this whole thing right now with Katie and Co. Because again, I want to vibe with you. Like, it's an interview both ways for anything, right? And even for our podcast, right, Megan, like we have to both make sure we're both vibing so that this works. And so that's the other thing is like, just drop in, start chatting, follow me, see if you like my story, see if we vibe. If you're pressed for time, of course, we can just set up a consult and hash things out and see if we are a good connection, but that's where you would find me.
Wonderful. And I'll make sure that everything goes in the show notes for you. But Katie, thank you so much for hopping on today and really just being such a shining light of really what it means to truly help others today. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan. The pleasure's all mine.
As we wrap up today's episode, there's one key takeaway that truly resonates from our conversation with Katie, and that is the importance of delegation in making the right hires. Katie's journey as a business owner highlights how crucial it is to recognize your strengths, leverage them to grow your business, and delegate tasks where others excel. In the fast-paced world of entrepreneurship, wearing multiple hats is often unavoidable, but knowing when to pass the baton to someone with the right expertise can make all the difference. Katie's emphasis on this aspect highlights the significance of building a strong team to support your vision and propel your business forward. So as you embark on your entrepreneurial journey, remember to surround yourself with talented individuals who complement your skills and share your passion. It's through effective delegation and strategic hiring that you'll not only lighten your load, but also unlock your business's full potential. All right, self-starter, what are you going to delegate first? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.